This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, good evening, everyone. Welcome to Daf HaShavua, the last Amud of the first parak of Yevamos. Remember, I learned this in high school in 11th grade. I remember this page. So the Gemara said as follows: Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Asi, Anoyved Koychavim, who does kedushin bizman hazeh. We are concerned for his kedushin. We're concerned that maybe this man comes from the Asar Sashvatim. Rashi explains, maybe one of the Asar Sashvatim married a non-Jewish woman. And this opinion holds that a guy who bore a child from a Jewish man, the Vlad is a mamzer. Now, usually, normative halacha is that when a non-Jewish woman marries a Jewish man, the children are goyim. And they're actually kasherim. Goyim, kasherim, because they could convert. However, this opinion holds that if a Gentile man marries a Jewish woman, we're afraid that this Gentile man is really a Jew. Why is that? Maybe his mother was not Jewish and his father was from the Aseres HaShvatim. And this opinion holds that Yisrael, that Oyvedas Kechavim Sheyoldom Yisrael, the Vlad is a Mamzer and Rechoyshesh for the Kedushin of a Mamzer. Now, why did Rashi have to say that? Why don't we suspect that his mother was from the Aseres HaShvatim and the father was a Goy? And in that case, he'll surely be Jewish, because as we're going to see, the women of the Aseres HaShvatim did not bear children. The women of the Aseres HaShvatim did not bear children. Because of the travails of the Galus, their wombs were cut. And therefore, the only possibility here is that the father was Jewish, the mother was a Goy, and this opinion holds that Yisrael, Shanasu, Avadas Kechavim, the child is a mamzer. So the Gemara asks, aye, but it's a miut? No, b'makayim hakvios, which Rashi explains, kol kavua k'mechsal mechsadami, and Tosfos explains, no, in their makam of kvios, they in fact are the roiv. They in fact are the roiv. Now, the Gemara continues. Where were the Asar HaShvatim positioned? Where did they go? The Amar Rabbi Ava Bar Kahana, Vayinochem, and they were led, Bechalach, Uvechavar, Nahar Goizen, Va'ore Madai, Chalach, Zachilozoin. That's the river of Chilozoin. Vechavar, Zu Chadayav. This is Chadayav. Where that is? It's an interesting place that I've never been to. Nahar Goizen, Zu Ginzik. V'arei Madai zu Hamadan. Hamadan, that's a city in Iran. V'chavruseha, and its outskirts. V'amri la, and some say zu Nihar v'chavruseha. Some say it's Nihar and its outskirts. V'chavruseha man, Amar Shmuel, Krach, Moshchi, Chidki, v'dumkaya. These are the names of them. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, v'kulan l'psul. All of these various cities, the residents are assumed to be pasul. Now, what are we concerned of? So, if I was Rashi, or if you were Rashi, then the Chayra, we would have said what we're concerned is, as Rashi said earlier, that the father was Jewish, the mother was not Jewish, and because of that, perhaps the child will be psulim, right? Because there's an opinion if the father is Jewish and the mother is not Jewish, the children will be mamzerim, as Rashi said before. However, Rashi here does not say that. L'psul ruban mamzerim. They're mostly mamzerim. Shenitzmu'u asars hashvatim be'oiv dois koychavim. Jewish men married non-Jewish women. Right? Be'oiv dois koychavim. U'b'nehem. And their children. Harehen ki Yisraelim. The children are Jewish. Now, why are the children Jewish? We just said before they're mamzerim. So apparently Rashi is explaining, according to Rabbi Yochanan, who holds that they're not mamzerim. So what's the issue? Uvnehem. Here, so in the Masoras Hashas, he changes the gersa. This is very important. He says, "Sarach loymer benois aseres hashvatim ba'ovdei koychavim." The girls are Jewish women from their daughters of the aseres hashvatim, and they got mixed in with goyim. So now it's a Gentile father and a Jewish mother. Now, what would the product be? The product will be Jewish. Uvneyem harein ki Yisraelim. Why is there mamzerus? V'noyeg bohen is mamzerus, and we treat them as if they're mamzerim. V'hein lo nizru v'nasu ze achoy so ibid v'hein mamzerim. The reason why there's mamzerus there is because there was incestuous relationships taking place. Now this is different than Rashi said before. Beforehand, Rashi said that the chashad, we're talking about a Gentile man, and we're worried this Gentile man is a mamzer. Why is he a mamzer? Because his mother was a goy. And that was assuming Rav Asi is of the opinion that if the mother is a goy and the father is a Jew, the child is a mamzer. But Rashi doesn't want to say that for Rabbi Yochanan, because as we're going to see, Rabbi Yochanan's personal opinion is that if the mother is Jewish, the child is a Jew. And if the mother is a Gentile, the child is not a mamzer. I mean, Rashi before said the chashash is that the mother was not Jewish and the father was Jewish, and now this kid is a mamzer. But Rabbi Yochanan would not hold that. So Rashi is explaining Rabbi Yochanan, the chashash is the mother was Jewish, the father was a guy, the children are Jewish, but there was they married Arayos, and that's what produced mamzer. Okay. Now Rabbi Yehuda was the one who reported this in the name of Rav Asi. And he said it to Shmuel. No, excuse me. Rav Yehuda was the one who said this over in the name of Rav Asi. Now, Rav Yehuda used to be a student of Rav Asi, but then he became a student of Shmuel. Ki amrita kamei de Shmuel, when I said it in front of Shmuel, Shmuel told me that Rav Asi was wrong. Shmuel said, Amar le, bincha haba min ha-Yisraelis, let's read these words for now. Your daughter, your son, who comes from a Jewish woman, Kari Bincha, if you have a grandson that comes, or you have a son that comes from a Jewish woman, he is your son, because it's matrilineal descent. Ve'in Bincha haba min ha'ivez kachavim, but if his mother is a guy, Kari Bincha, he's not your son, Ela Bina, it's her son. And therefore, why would you be worried if a man from the Aseres HaShvatim comes and marries a Jewish woman? Why should we be choshesh for his kedushin? What are you worried about? You're worried his mother was a non-Jew and the father was Jewish? But then, he's not a Jew because we follow the mother, and the mother was not Jewish. Elamai v'ho'ika banois, but maybe his mother was Jewish and the father was a goy, and in that case, he was a mamzer? But Amar Ravina Shma Mina, Ravina said, "Ben Bitcha Haba Min Ha'Eved Koychavim, Karei Bincha." And in other words, maybe there's banos. What about the fact there were Jewish girls that were captured and they married goyim and they had children? And Ravina said that the son of your daughter, that your daughter lived with a guy, is called your son, so he's Jewish. And therefore, we should be choshesh for the kedushin. In other words, this it's possible that this guy who was a guy had a Jewish mother. After all, there were many women from the Aseres HaShvatim that got mixed into the general population. So in other words, very nice, Shmuel wanted to say Rav Asi is wrong, because if the mother is a guy and the father is Jewish, then the child is not Jewish. So the question is, so maybe the mother was a Jew. So Gemara says, no, that's not a problem. Because Gamiri, we have a tradition, the Binsa Dahudara, the daughters of that generation, it's Daruye, it's Staru. It was ripped. Their wombs were ripped. And therefore, they were not able to produce children. It's Staru is a lashon of splitting. Okay. Weiter. Ikada Amri, there are those who say, Ki Amrita Kamida Shmuel, when I told Shmuel, Rabbi Yehuda is talking, about the Chashash of Ravasi. So, if the mother is a guy, there's no problem. If the mother was a Jew in the first version, we said it's not a problem because the Jewish women were not able to have children if they were from the Aser Sashvatim. But according to this version, this is actually an amazing version, and I would love to give a shir on this if I could find anything on it. And listen to this. You know what Shmuel said? This is literally one of the most interesting things I've ever heard. Amar lei loy zazu misham, the Aser Sashvatim did not move from there, ad sha'asom oivdei koychavim gemurim, until they rendered them goyim. Shenemar, like the Pasuk says, Bashem bagadu, they were treacherous against Hashem. Ki barim, banim zarim yaladu, because they had foreign children. Herstamaisi, here what's going on? The chashash was, well, maybe the mother was Jewish. No! The Aseres Hashatim are so far gone that even though in general there's a rule, Yisrael afal pishachat Yisrael hu, right, we know that there's nothing a Jew could do to remove himself from being a Jew. At least that's what I thought. And now we're learning the rabbi said, hey you, Aseres Hashvatim, you're not Jewish anymore. I didn't know you could do that. I don't know how you do that. But they did it. What exactly is the process and the procedure of removing somebody's Jewishness? We know that you could convert to Judaism, but how do you remove Judaism? Well, the Rabbanan did it. Who did they do it to? The Aseres Hashvatim. In other words, the opinion of Shmuel is if a Gentile marries a Jewish woman, we don't have to be worried that he comes from the Aseres Hashvatim, even though his mother may have been a Jewish woman from the Aseres Hashvatim, because the rabbis pronounced her a goy. They said, we hereby pronounce you a goy. I guess you could sell them chametz. You know, l'may nafkamina that you... In other words, could you sell chametz to a Jew who the rabbis made into a goy? Could that he be a Shabbos goy? You know, you have a guy, he comes with a certificate. He has a hechsher. Maybe that's even better. You know, instead of using a goy, he doesn't have a hechsher. He doesn't have a haskama. This guy comes, you say, who are you? He says, I have a haskama from Chagai Hanov, from Chaim Knievsky, that he's a legitimate goy. Yeah, but your mother was Jewish. Yeah, but the rabbis rendered me a goy. Yes.
Can you be Oiver Luf Naiver with one of those people?
Yeah, right? Very interesting concept. What happened to Ben Kach u Ben Kach Nekram Banim? It's a good thing I finished that topic, you know?
But it couldn't have been that they mixed in until, you know, they had deliberately over time, you know, they just intermarried until there was no Jewish people left. Isn't that possible?
Mm-hmm. Maybe. I saw recently in Parshas Kisetze, it says by the Mitzri, like Gam Dor Asiri Lo Yavei Bekal Hashem, even the 10th generation. Like, why? What's special about the 10th generation? So he said, I saw Rav Isaac Charif. He says like this: once you get to the 10th generation, he's only one. He's less than a thousandth Egyptian. So you would think the Egyptian Shaboy is batel in a thousand. The Yushalmi holds a beria is batel be'elef. And the Chiddush is, no, he's still Aser. That's why it has to say Dor Asiri. Because in the 10th generation, the percentage in terms of between parents, grandparents, great-grandparents, great-great-grand, you know, in other words, he's less than a thousandth Mitzri. So is that the pshat over here? The their Jewishness and lineage is negligible? I mean, it sounds like even though the mother was Jewish, what's the process here? You know, it's very interesting to me. Okay.
Did you see the Yard Scroll on it, or?
I can't. What do they say?
It says that it was through the Nevi'im that that there was a Zabas call that said that this is a one-time thing, that they're allowed to say that these people are not Jewish, and it says it was a one-time deal.
Tairasha.
It doesn't say Rosh. It says the opinion is that this was a one-time decree that was applied to the exiled ten tribes. I can't say Rosh, but that's
there's a Baskal. It said a Baskal.
The words are that with the aid of the divine spirit
So it's Baruch HaKodesh. So I have a question. Let's say a rabbi comes in and he says Baruch HaKodesh. You see, Tony, the Shabbos guy. It's a one-time thing. He's the next Rav of the Shul, or he's the next Gadol Hadar, you know? Like, so, I mean, if it's a special Hayra Asha, what's the, how do you make him Jewish? He's not a Ger, no Geros, just, you know, what's that all about?
The Rambam also, when he says the Rambam in the beginning of Mishnayos, when he says, what's a Navi, this goes against what Rambam says. If the Navi tells you that this is something comes from Shemayim, that it's not that, you know, that's the opposite from the Torah, you don't listen to them.
So the truth is,
the Chachamim would even listen to this Baskal.
One second, I don't think it doesn't say Baskal. You said divine spirit, so that's Ruach HaKodesh, right? But so the halacha is that if a Navi comes, can a Navi could say as a Hayra Asha to violate something in the Torah?
So we don't listen to him. It's a
tackle
big problem. That's the
kasha
on that shot.
Okay, right. So what's the process over here? It's not Ruach HaKodesh, it's Nevuah? And by the way, what's the Nevuah? Bashem Bagadu Kibanim Zaram Yaladu? Where in that pasuk do you see anything about taking people who are Jewish and making them Goyim? It just says they rebelled against God because they bore foreign children. I mean, why are they foreign? They're still Jews. I mean, the fact that the Navi calls them Zarim, that means the Navi saying that they're Goyim. How do you do that? I don't understand. Let's say a Navi, here like this. Let's put it this way. I could hear a Navi coming and saying, this Pesach Eid Chametz. But could a Navi come and say, you see this cardboard? It's matzah. It's a one-time thing. This is matzah. I mean, guy, you know, pal, this is not matzah. So how does a Navi say this guy is not Jewish? I mean, he's Jewish. I could tell you. You want to say, you know, it's one thing they could tell you to violate, but how do they say something that's against the reality? A Jew is a Jew. So they could say, no, he's not a Jew. We decided he's not a Jew. The mother's Jewish. Okay, anyway. Don't say an answer, because I'm not going to have anything to say on Sunday. Okay. Yosef Rabbi Yosef Achorid Rav Kahana. Rabbi Yosef was sitting behind Rav Kahana. V'yasev Rav Kahana kamed Rav Yehuda. And Rav Kahana was sitting before Rav Yehuda. V'yasev v'kamer, and he was sitting and saying. I guess Rav Kahana was saying. Asidin Yisrael da'avdi yom tov ki charvi tarmoid. The Jewish people are destined to make a yom tov when tarmoid is destroyed. By the way, we actually gave a shiur on this subject, Hanukkah time, because the Gemara says in Shabbos, until when do you light Hanukkah lecht? Until the regel of the Tarmadoi leaves the shuk. It's interesting, right? This is Gemara in Shabbos. So these are the same Tarmudim. The Gemara says, Valchar, but Tarmud is destroyed. So the Gemara says, Ahu Tamud. Tamud is destroyed. Rav Ashi Omer, Hainu Tarmud. Hainu Tamud. No. Tarmud and Tamud are the same. But it was destroyed. They have a quick rebound. Achpulehu de Michbal. They replicate. Charev mehai gisa, oisa mehai gisa. When they're destroyed on one side, they resituate the other. Vichar mehai gisa, oisa mehai gisa. So they're never fully destroyed. Just when you think you got them, they regenerate on the other end. Yosef Rav Hamnuna kamedu ula. Rav Hamnuna was sitting before Rav Hamnuna. Yosef Rav Hamnuna kamedu ula. Rav Hamnuna was sitting before ula, v'kahavi b'shmaita. And Rav Hamnuna was like challenging the sugya. So ula was impressed. Omar, ma gavro, ma gavro. What a guy, what a guy. He was impressed.
Ula was impressed with Rav Hamnuna, but then Ula said he loved the Harpanya Maaseh. If not for the fact that Harpanya was his city, he'd really be good stuff. So Ula sort of pointed out that Rav Hamnuna came from a bad city and therefore of bad lineage, and therefore nobody should marry his daughter. Why did he say that? It's, you know, it's a public service announcement. By the way, you know, this guy, he might be a big Talmud Chacham, but stay away for Shaduchim. Ichsif, Rav Hamnuna got embarrassed. Amar Lei, so Rav Hamnuna said, Kesef Gilgaltal Hechiyavis. Who do you pay taxes to? Amar Lei, he said, I pay taxes. Lefamnara. Amar Lei, Mkemi Pamnara at. You belong to Pamnara. You're not from Harpanya, so don't worry. You don't have bad lineage. Now, I don't understand. If he was making a public service announcement, that's because he was confident that he came from Harpamya. So if that's the case, what is the fact that he got embarrassed? How did that change things? I mean, Ula knew that this would be embarrassing to Rav Hamnuna, but he had no choice. So then if he had no choice, so why did he switch when he got embarrassed? The answer is, the Gemara says in Asar Yuchsin that people who are not meyuchas are azeipanim, they're brazen, and they're not baishanim. So when he saw he was a baishan, he realized that he may have good yichas. So he did another check, and he saw taka. He didn't come from Harpanya, he came from Pumnahara. My Harpanya, what exactly is the city of Harpanya? Amar Abzera Harsha Akol Poinimba. It's the mountain that anyone who can't find the shidduch, because they're of tainted lineage, they all turn there. All psulim that can't find an isha turn there. V'masnisa tanu learned in a brayso kol she'ein makir mishpachta v'shivtai. If you don't know what family you come from, you don't know what tribe you come from, nifna l'sham, they turn there. So the Gemara continues. Amar Rava v'hi amuka mishaal. Rava said it's even deeper than the abyss. What does that mean, it's deeper than the abyss? That means it's more problematic than Gehenna, because even Gehenna one day will be corrected. But if you have tainted lineage, there's no way out. Shenemar, miyad sho'el eftem, I'll redeem you from the abyss. Mimavas agolam, I'll redeem you from Misa. But psulim, ve'ilo psul detu, the psulim of Harpanya, less luhutakanta, there's no remedy. Now, what exactly is the psul? Where does it come from? So Gemara says, psule de harpanya, misham psule de mishain. The psulim of harpanya are a result of the disqualified lineage of Mishon, which is Mishon is nearby, and the city of Mishon mingles with harpanya. And in Asar Yuchsin, Rashi cites, Mishon is a bad news regarding being psul. They're like dead regarding psulim. And where do the psulim of Mishon come from? Psule de Mishon, Mishon psule de Tarmod. And what's the issue with Tarmod? So the Gemara said before, because of the Avdei Shloimai, that was the sugya before, the slaves of, the rich slaves of Shloimai married in. Now, that was assuming that a goy who marries a Bas Yisrael, the child is a mamzer. But we hold that a guy who marries a Bas Yisrael, the child is kosher. So you would have to say, either this is like Rabasi, that Bas Yisrael, Hanivala, La'akum, the Vlad mamzer, or the Achorinim say, Karanoira. I remember seeing the Karanoira, what we did in Yeshiva, that this is going, Lafi, what Rashi said on top of the page, that there was a chashash of marrying into arayos in that area. And the psul of Tarmoid is because Avdei Shloimai. This is what people say, kava rabba v'kava zuta, a big measurement and a small measurement. Megander v'ozol l'sha'ol, it rolls down to the abyss, u'misha'ol l'tarmoid, and from the sha'ol it rolls down to tarmoid, u'mitarmoid l'mishon, and from tarmoid it rolls down to mishon, u'mimishon l'harpanya, and from mishon it rolls down to the lowest place. Look at Rashi. Kava Rabba v'Kava Zuta, Eifa Gedoyla v'Eifa Ketana, big measurement to small measurement, Shneim Mu'uvasim. They're both disqualified. Kloimer Kala P'suim Mizgalgim v'Yardim L'Shal. All disqualifications roll down to the abyss, and from there to Tarmoid. Which means that the Sha'ol is in better shape, Gehenim is better off than Tarmoid. And the reason why the Gehenim is in better off than Tarmoid is because Gehenim, those who go to Gehenim have a tikkun, but Tarmoid has no tikkun. Hadrin Alach Chamesh Asrei Nashim. Okay, we begin the second parak. Mazel Tov. Okay. This is our siyum. This is, you know, relative. We gotta rejoice in the siyum. This is not Daf Yomi, you know. But we're almost finished. We're almost finished, Yivamas, basically. Once you finish the first parak, we're almost there. Okay. So, Ketzad Eish HaSachav Shalaiha Ba'ilamayr. The Mishnah said 14 Arayos. And Erva number 13. Excuse me. Erva number 14 was Eish HaSachav Shalaiha Ba'ilamayr. Now, why the Masechta first discusses Eishas Achiv Shalaya Bailamai before any of the others, that's a valid question. But the Mishnah says like this, Shnei Achim, two brothers, Reuven and Shimon, Umeisachim Hem, Reuven dies, V'noel Elohim Ach, and after Reuven dies, Levi's born. So Levi was born after Reuven's wife fell on Yibam. So Levi cannot do Yibam to her because he is Eishas Achiv Shalaya Haya Bailamai. V'yacher kach yibeim hasheni, and then Shimon does yibam to Eishes Ruvain. Es Eishes Achiv, he does yibam to his brother's wife, Umeis. And now Ruvain dies. Excuse me, now Shimon dies. So now they're both falling to Levi. Harishoina, the first woman, we'll call her the Eishes Achiv Shalaya Ba'ilamai, who was an Eishes Achiv Shalaya Ba'ilamai from Ruvain's death. Yoitze, she leaves from Levi. Because of the Petor of Eishes Achiv Shalaya Ba'ilamai. V'hashniya, the second wife, that's the co-wife, Mishum Tsarasa. Because she is Tsaras Erva. Now what if Shimon did not do Yibam to Eishes Ruvain? Let's say he just married her, Midrabanon, by doing Maimar. So now, this Eishes Achiv Shalaya Ba'ilamai is quasi-married to Shimon. Will she pater the Tsara? She quasi paters the tzara. In other words, you won't do yibum to the tzara, but she will require chalitza. Asaba maimar. If Shimon does maimar to Eishes Ruvain, umeis, and Shimon dies, shnia, the second wife, the tzara, chaylatzas vloimis yabemes. You do chalitza to her, but you don't do yibum. You do chalitza because she's not a full-fledged tzara's erva, because she's not mamish the tzara, because the first woman wasn't really married to Shimon, but you don't do Yibum, because at the end of the day, she was somewhat of a tzara to an erva. Now, there are two different texts of this Mishnah. Because the Mishnah says when Shimon dies, the Rishina goes out because of Eishes Achiv Shalaya Ba'ilamai, and the Shnia is tzara, is the, her tzara. Amar Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman said, Man detani Rishina le'mishtamish. The one who calls the Eishes Achiv Shalaya Ba'ilamai Rishina is not making a mistake. Man detani shnia, the one who calls her the second one, is not making a mistake either. Lo mishtamish. So we would assume the one who calls that woman the second one is making a mistake, because she's the woman who's going to pater the tzara. So we would call the erva Rishina and the tzara shnia. But there is a mahalach, there is a valid way to read it, that the erva is the shnia and the tzara is rishayna. Man detani rishayna, the one who learned that the erva is called rishayna loy mishtabesh, my rishayna, what does it mean rishayna? Rishayna lenafila, the first woman to fall, because she fell to Yibam first, before this tzara is falling to Yibam, in round one, when Reuven died, and she fell to Shimon. So, we'll call her Rishina because she was the first woman to fall as she fell previously. Uman detani shnia, but someone who calls her the second one, loy mishtabesh. My shnia, why are we calling her the second one? Shnia l'nesuin, because she married Shimon second, because Shimon was already married to a different woman first, and then married the Eshes Achiv Shalai Haibai Lamai of Levi second. So Gemara asks, why does that have to be the case? Why couldn't it be Shimon married her first and then married another woman? Says the Gemara, Milay Askinon, aren't we speaking de Yibim ba'achar kach kanas? First Shimon did Yibam to Eshes Ruvain and then he married another woman? So Gemara says, no, that's not why she's called the second one. It's not because Shimon married her second. Elamai Shnia Shnia b'nesuin. She's called second because she's on her second marriage. Okay, Rabbi Yisai, we'll hold it over here. And Be'ezus Hashem, pick it up tomorrow. Shkayach. Anyone have any questions? Chidushim?
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.